Welcome, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're talking about the tariff of Donald Trump's tariffs. It's a mouthful, and they are seemingly blunderbuss all over the place. He's tariffing penguins, but not Vladimir Putin. Here to help us make sense of all of it is Dr. Benja Ajilore. He is the chief economist at the Center for Budget and Policy Priorities. He was formerly a senior advisor in the Office of the Undersecretary for Rural Development at the United States Department of Agriculture. He was an economist also at the Center for American Progress and a tenured associate professor of economics at the University of Toledo. He knows lots about this. We're so happy to have him joining us. Dr. Ajilore, welcome. Thank you for making time. Tell folks, how unusual is this sort of approach to tariffs, these wide-ranging, across-the-board tariffs on pretty much every trading partner of the United States in the modern era of tariff policy?
Well, first, thank you for inviting me on. It's a pleasure to be here. And you talk about how extreme this is. I'm glad you brought up taxing penguins. That, yes. You know, I've never seen that in tariffs before. But I think the biggest thing is that it's such a broad sense, a broad stretch of taxation of the number of countries, the list, you know, countries that I haven't even heard of, their territories. And the question, two questions come up is, one is the why. You know, what are the goal of tariffs? So every administration has done tariffs before. A lot of times you look at, but these are very targeted and there's a specific goal towards them. So sometimes you say, okay, well, this country is engaging in unfair trade policy. We're going to put a tariff on this specific good to make it more competitive with our domestic industry. And then once they stop engaging that negative behavior, we could pull the tariffs off. Clear goal, clear plan, and they execute it. This, they're talking about, well, this is going to bring in $6 trillion. And that's going to be a lot of revenue that's going to pay for the wealthy tax cut that they want to try to push through. But then they say the tariffs are to limit the flow of fentanyl across the border. So if they're successful in limiting the flow of fentanyl across the border, then they pull the tariffs off, but you're not raising that $6 trillion, right? So now you have these goals that are in conflict and it doesn't even make sense. And then the other thing I have is you look at the numbers. So I think it was for, you know, China, it's up to, you know, 60%. For Japan, it's like 46%. And it's like, well, how did you do the math? And so they came up with this formula. And the formula, they threw in some Greek letters to make it look complicated. And, you know, I know Maggie done a lot of econ with math. So you can recognize that the formula, it turns out that it doesn't even make sense. It's just basically a trade deficit besides divided by imports. And even the people, the academics who actually created the formula, the assumptions that they made, they were saying, okay, this is our math, but they did it wrong. Like, we would actually use something different, which would make these tariff numbers smaller. And so it's just, there's a lot of confusion, and it's a lot of confusion just in terms of the math, in terms of the numbers, in terms of the countries. And it's just, it's very difficult to understand the why.
Yeah, the why here matters a lot, right? And I want to reemphasize the point that you just made, Dr. Ajilore, for those that are listening and are saying, well, this is going to help bring back U.S. manufacturing, and or it's going to stop the flow of fentanyl, or, oh, yes, this is going to be the new source of revenue and it's going to make our country richer. These objectives do not work together. You can't do all of those things. And to the extent that, and I've talked to some of my friends that work in the auto industry, and a couple of them are conservatives, Trump supporters, they're real excited there's going to be more auto manufacturing jobs. And I keep telling them, that's not how this works. For sectors and industries that offshored some of their manufacturing, to return that to the United States is a multi-year process at best. And a business is not going to make $100 million investments to return manufacturing to the U.S. in 3 to 5 years, which is how long at minimum it would take, if this is simply a negotiating tactic, if this is simply a temporary thing, if Donald Trump is in fact an unreliable actor, which he has proven to be again and again, this just doesn't wash out. As well as, and I looked at the calculation, Dr. Edgelord, and I went, oh yeah, that's a bunch of garbage. And by the way, a freshman in college that studies macroeconomics can write the formula for trade deficit calculation better than those fools just did. It doesn't make any sense. But let's focus on farmers in places like the state of Wisconsin. How disastrous is this going to be in the agricultural sectors here in the United States?
It is something that I'm really concerned about. And a lot of it is, it's not the tariffs that we are placing on these countries. What I'm worried about is what's going to be the retaliatory tariffs. Right. And so, you know, over the last 2 months, we've been putting tariffs on China, Canada, Mexico, and, you know, they put some retaliatory tariffs on some of our goods. Now, more broadly, a lot of it's been the oilseed and grain exports that's hurt other places in the Midwest. But now with these tariffs, they're going to do retaliatory. So I'm looking at what's going to happen with dairy exports. I'm looking at, you know, you think about some of the biggest export economy for Wisconsin farmers is China, Korea, and Japan. And just last week they announced, now these are countries that don't get along well, but they announced that they're going to be a joint venture to try to combat these retaliatory, these tariffs that the Trump has placed on it. And so now I'm thinking about what's going to happen to the farmers, to their export markets. And I think back to the first term where he put tariffs on China and they had retaliatory tariffs that hit farmers very, especially soybean farmers, saw a loss of 70% of their production that they're still being hurt by. And so that's what I'm looking for, not what happened yesterday, but what's going to happen in the next couple of days, next week with the other countries. And there's a whole laundry list of countries. What are they going to do in response?
Yeah. And I also feel like this is one of those weird areas where we're trying to use logic in an illogical area. Right. That what's happening right now doesn't make any sense, but we're still trying to use logic in regards to what countries will do when they come back and maybe place more tariffs on us. It feels like Donald Trump is looking for these countries to come to him and make an offer. You know, so I read a quote that said everybody woke up this morning with a horse head in their bed and are trying to figure out who sent it and what the next step is. But are there other things countries could offer besides raising their own tariffs? At this point, that would somehow play into the U.S. economy? And that's a serious question. Is there something else that we could be seeing happening that would be the opposite of them raising their own tariffs?
I think a lot of it is just trying to, they're going to find other places to get their goods and services from. Because one of the other things is our big export is services. Right. And that's where we actually have a trade surplus in services. And these countries are going to go to other places. They're going to try to find other countries to deal with and work with. And again, this is, you know, there's a lot of worries that come up. But one of them is they're going to find other ways of doing business that when we pull these tariffs off, we're not going to go back to where we were before. They're going to continue doing business with these other countries because we've now developed this reputation of being unreliable. And to, you know, Maggie's point before about the uncertainty. Business uncertainty, uncertainty for consumers, uncertainty for investors, foreign and domestic. And so I'm worried about the long-term impact, how countries are going to be changing their behavior and continue to change their behavior in a way that's going to harm our producers.
Let me ask you a related question. When we start looking at the number, the specific numbers, Vietnam, which has been a very reliable trading partner with the United States for a very long time, a lot of consumer goods are manufactured in Vietnam. In fact, during Trump's first administration, he said to manufacturers that U.S.-based companies that had manufacturing in China, take it out of China, put it in Vietnam. He just slapped a 46% tariff on goods being imported from Vietnam. We know that 60% of auto parts are imported, even if the final assembly is happening here. What is the possible off-ramp? Is it just going to be more chaos? Or is the off-ramp the most likely result, as you were saying, Dr. Edgelori, that countries and businesses will move their businesses elsewhere? That this over, even if Donald Trump starts to pull some of these tariffs back in the near term, in the next quarter, that the damage will have been done and it will be irreversible to a certain extent, and it will help bring about the further decline of American primacy in economic matters, especially world economic matters. How do we get out of this? Is there a way to exit without maximal pain? Or is this going to be, frankly, irreversible in terms of its negative impacts in many ways?
That's a very good question. It's something that I've been struggling with, because even if, let's say, tomorrow he says, you know, he looks at the stock market, sees the big drop and says, okay, let me pull back. These countries are going to look at that and say, okay, he did that today. But what's going to happen in May, in June, in 2026? Like, can we trust this administration to be able to not go back and forth? I mean, we even saw this a couple weeks ago with the steel tariffs on Canada. You know, he said 25% tariffs on steel. And then in the morning, he said, no, I'm going to do 50%. And then 4 hours later, or 5 hours later, he brought it back down to 25%, where it's like, even within the day, you don't know. And the problem is, you know, we can, you know, laugh and joke about this, but there are businesses who deal with steel, who have inputs with steel, and they have to make decisions, you know, not just for tomorrow, next week, but 6 months, a year from now. You think about talking about the farmers, some of the things that they have to figure out and figure out their bottom line, making plans. And you can't make plans where it's like, I don't know if this is going to cost me 25% more or 50% more. You have other producers who are sitting there thinking to themselves, okay, I'm going to have to, if it's 25%, I can eat the cost and help out my consumers. At 50%, I can't. But they don't know if it's 25% or 50%. Right. They have to, they can't wait to make these decisions. They need certainty. They need to understand if it's going to be more. Because even if you are a fan of tariffs, even if you want these things, you still need to be able to plan. And this is the problem with this, the way the tariff has been implemented, is that it's been very haphazard and chaotic.
Chaotic is the word. So it, in your estimation, Dr. Edgelori, why is this happening? Like, what's the end game when it comes to doing tariffs this way with this unpredictability in your mind?
I don't have an answer for that. I just think that this is a tool that the president's able to use without congressional blessing, even though Congress is the one who's supposed to be administering tariffs, but it's a tool for him to use to be able to, like he had the event yesterday, Make America Wealthy Again. It was a 1 hour event where he could be celebrated and he could talk about this and make this big announcement. And I think this is just kind of a tool that he's able to do that with.
Let's talk again, Dr. Edgelori. And folks, if you're joining us, we've got Dr. Benga Edgelori from the Center for Budget and Policy Priorities. Are tariffs regressive? Are they effectively a sales tax on consumers? Do they, in effect, cost the poorest among us, the folks that are struggling the most? Do they have the most dire impacts the lower your income?
That's 100% correct. So you look at the tariffs, you look at the kind of goods, like some of the biggest tariffs are going to be, that raises the price for goods. So you're looking at clothing, you're looking at apparel, you're looking at food at, you know, grocery stores. And so the other thing is, it's a tariff on all kinds of goods, especially lower price goods. And you think about the people who purchase those goods, and you think about people who are higher income, and they have the option of buying different goods, and they have the option of buying, you know, higher end quality stuff and purchase those things. Where you look at, you know, we saw this with egg prices, that egg prices went up, and egg prices for like specialty eggs or, you know, cage-free eggs, that the differential was about the same. And so it ends up being about the same price. And so this is going to hit low-income people the hardest. And that's the other thing about these tariffs, is that, you know, you think about tax cuts primarily benefit the wealthy, and that, you know, low-income people don't benefit. Tariffs hit everybody. Now, the only difference is, who is it hit harder? It hits harder the lower income people.
Folks, we're going to have to leave it there for today. We're going to come back on the other side with some final thoughts. Thank you to Dr. Benga Edgelori, making us all smarter. I would love to have you back again soon. These aren't going away fast. Thank you for your time, sir, and your work on this very important topic. Folks, we'll be back in just a moment here on the Maggie Dawn Show with Tom Paulswitz. Our final thoughts and your final calls and texts, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Keep it live right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.